Kia ora and welcome to the Beer Jack podcast. I'm Luke.
And I'm Matt.
And we're sitting here in Basque Park. So we're taking a stroll away from Beer Jack Towers to have a picnic podcast.
Picnic podcast.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Nothing like nothing like enjoying a silent podcast while the two presenters drink beer, right?
Yeah, it's a classic Beer Jack moment. It's like, you've got to drink the beer.
The Beer Jack podcast is brought to you by us, Beer Jack. Beer Jack is a brilliant place to buy beer on the internet, but also in real life. Sadly, we're locked down in Auckland, so you can't come and drink at our warehouse bar, the Fridge and Flagon, but you can come and click and collect and buy beers to take away. But yes, we are in week 9 of Auckland lockdown. We're all pretty sick of it. So we really, really appreciate all you wonderful people continuing to shop with us online.
Yeah, and if you are in Auckland suffering from lockdown, we are currently offering same-day delivery on Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays. So if you order at 2 p.m, our friendly bike courier, Justin, will come and bring the box straight to you. That's central suburbs only. You can check the list of postcodes on the website, but good way to get some good beer fast.
Yeah, great point. And is a good homebrew, Justin. Have you had any of his beers?
I haven't. Well, I haven't been in the warehouse while he's been in. I've been at home with my darling children.
Well, hopefully the levels will go down and you'll be able to spend a bit more time with us at Beer Jack Towers in the future.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
But it's nice to be here in person today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are drinking a beer from our mates at Altitude. And I know that Eddie, who's one of the co-founders of Altitude, along with Elliot, is a listener to the podcast. So,
hey, Eddie.
Hello, mate. We're drinking Southern Lights Pale Ale.
Yeah, it's our beer of the week for this week. And it's just a lovely, light, bright pale ale. It's exactly what you want, really.
Well, it's their house pale ale. And it's, I think they did 4 or 5 different iterations and trials of the house pale ale that they had in keg at their brew pub. While they tried to hone down what the pale ale was going to be. And it's, thank you very much. Just what you want in a nice, tasty pale ale. It's not knocking your socks off. It's not hugely hoppy, but it's certainly not boring either. It's kind of, I don't want to say middle of the road, because people think of middle of the road as a bad thing.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, for me, like, pale ale is probably the style of beer that I drink more than anything else. It's my go-to, like, when I'm going out with my mates, when I'm just having a normal beer at home is pale ale. In the way that lager is for a lot of people, it's just like, if I just want a beer, it's a pale ale. And it doesn't have to be just this mind-blowing thing. This is a beautiful example. It's kind of a bit more stripped back on the malt base than some of your English pale ales, leaning towards a kind of more modern style, almost XPA-like in the base there, though a little more than that. It's got some lovely tropical hops coming over the top, a little bit of gooseberry, a little bit of citrus. Balanced by a little bit of bitterness, it's really nice. It's a good beer.
Yeah, it's unfiltered, so a bit of haze, nice bit of body to it, and it's the sort of beer you could just drink glass after glass of.
Yeah, and the Altitude Tap Room down in Queenstown is a good place to do that.
It's an amazing place to do it, hey?
Yeah, it's like heaps of character in that place. I love all the snowboards and stuff that they've got on the walls, and obviously the brewery right next to the bar there.
And right next to the lake.
Yeah. And yeah, beautiful lake. You've got stunning views of the mountains. I think, I think we've previously said that Canyon Brewery in Altitude might have the best view of any brew pub in New Zealand, but Altitude would have to give them a run for their money as well.
Yeah. But
Queenstown's Queenstown, so what are you gonna do?
Pretty incredible spot, yeah. Especially compared to our dusty warehouse in Eden Terrace, Auckland.
Yeah, the view's not quite so good from there. Though, if you want a good sense of what's going on in the City Rail Link site, it's the place to be.
Well, dear listeners, I hope there isn't too much noise pollution. We are having a bit of wind and a few motorcycles going by. We'll see how that comes out.
Altitude have been doing some really cool stuff lately in general. They've been kind of humming along quietly, and we haven't seen a lot of their beers in the North Island around the kind of, obviously, with local distribution.
Small breweries, there's only so much liquid to go around.
Exactly, and they've got their mischievous Kia IPA, which has been a staple for a while, their Powder Day Pilsner. But the thing that's really impressed me with that they've been doing lately is their Jam Sessions series, smoothie sours, which I think are a benchmark for Kiwi sour brewers at the moment. Very few local breweries are really nailing that that style of sour that we've seen done so well overseas. So really amping up the fruitiness and the body while keeping enough tartness in there that it's not kind of overly sweet, because you, to me, in a sour, you want that tartness to kind of kick. As a notorious fan of sour lollies as a kid, nothing sour enough for me. But yeah, it's the jam sessions, they really kind of pack that real fruit flavor in there. So if you're after that kind of big punchy fruit sour, it's definitely something that I'd be checking out.
And also, we've chatted a little bit about this before, but I'm not sure that it is a big secret to making beers like this. It's just putting a lot of fruit in there.
Yeah,
a massive amount. And when you talk to the brewer about the sort of volumes, you know, 400 kilos of berries, or it's and also real ingredients rather than using, you know, artificial flavors or artificial syrups that so many brewers do use. And also, as of course we are brewers with small gods and we know how much ingredients cost, they're all bloody expensive, but the most expensive ingredient is hops.
Yeah.
And in a fruity sour, you're not using many hops, so you can afford to use some other adjunct type ingredients, right?
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, the I think the quantity of fruit that you see in a lot of those smoothie sour beers would surprise a lot of people. I think I shared an article with you in the last week from an American brewer who was talking about their process. They had a really nice detailed breakdown of their whole process for making these fruit sours, and they said 40% fruit is what they use. Plus they like to use, I think it's something like 10 kilos of vanilla and a ridiculous amount of marshmallow fluff, which I don't think is something I've seen in New Zealand, but it's I think pretty common in the States to get like a marshmallow spread that they just they chuck in there to get that vanilla and sweetness instead of using lactose.
And when I've been researching dessert stouts, I've also read about marshmallow powder.
Yeah, so another interesting
stuff that doesn't exist here.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe George Duncan, if you're listening, you don't have to be filling your whole mash tun with marshmallows and a blowtorch to get that effect. But but don't stop doing it, because I love your toasted marshmallow stout. So keep it up.
So go and pay a visit to Altitude if you're in a part of the country where you're actually allowed to travel around. And I know I can't wait to get down to Queenstown and also Wanaka again, where there's also a lot of good beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
To have another pint with the guys at Altitude.
Yeah. And so what else have you been drinking in the last week, Luke?
Helles.
Love a Helles.
Helles, contrary to the name, it's just German for light, as in light and dark, whereas I think a lot of people think of hell as satanic and dark. So Helles is a beautiful, lovely, soft lager. I always think of a Helles and a Pilsner as being really quite different beers. I love sort of the hoppy bitterness of a Pilsner.
And the crispness there. So there's a big difference in body between a Helles and a Pilsner. Mm.
And ask any Londoner and they'll rave about Camden Helles, which was an incredibly popular beer 10 years ago. I don't know if it still is these days, since it got sold out and everything else.
Yeah, I can't remember who they sold to, but yeah, one of the big early buyouts in the UK.
So I drank the Weihenstephan Helles. So we've got a mixed pack at the moment with Weihenstephaner's Weissbier, their Pilsner, and their Helles.
And their Festbier.
Well, the Festbier sold out. We had a mixed case with the Festbier, right, and another new case. So sorry, you've already missed the Festbier long ago, listeners. So I had the Helles, and I also had the Helles from our other side shipment.
Yep.
And obviously both quite different beers, one being brewed in Western Australia and one being brewed in Bavaria.
From the world's oldest brewery.
Exactly, that was founded in 1040. Compared to other side, which was founded in, I think, 2015.
Only 1,000 years different.
Exactly, but no reason why there'd be any differences in quality in the beer. And just a beautiful beer to have with food, and a nice beer to have in a good volume as well. Just drink a nice like litre of Helles.
Yeah, well, so like those classic massive German glasses that you see in all the Oktoberfest pictures and stuff like that. Couple of other Helles come out. I think McLeod's have just released a new Helles in can as well.
Yeah, the Export Helles. Yeah. With the sexy Highland cow on it.
Yeah.
With Lederhosen.
I mean, isn't that just all Highland cows? I think the Lederhosen not so much, but...
I think it was in our Facebook members group. Did you spot that a woman in there mentioned, is it strange that I find this can really sexy? And so yeah, you'll have to have a look at that, the Export Helles from McLeod's.
Yeah.
So I haven't drank it yet, but it's going to be amazing because I do feel like we should stop like adoring McLeod so much. Every single podcast, we just rave about how incredible McLeod's, especially their Paradise Pale Ale is.
I refuse. on to something else. I think that I'll be interested to try that because I haven't had that one yet either. Hmm. But for me, I'm benchmarking Helles against Zeerlandt's Jerry Rig.
Yeah, so good.
Which I still think is the best lager in the country on a regular basis.
Mm.
Or the best traditional lager in the country. I mean, you got your IPLs and your... all your alt lager styles. If you want a kind of a classic lager that any lager drinker will recognise as a lager in the way that it's known in the mainstream, and Helles fitting into that kind of category. Jerry Rig, I think, is... just so consistently excellent. As Luke said earlier, it's got that that softness to it in contrast to something like a Pilsner. And that's definitely a beer worth checking out too.
And this is the time of year where brewers all over the place are brewing lots of German-style beers, Fest beers especially.
Mertzen and...
Well, it's Oktoberfest,
yeah.
Sort of times. Oktoberfest happens at the end of September, and it's the last couple of weeks of September. In Munich, but obviously there are fests all over Germany and these days all over the world. So I spotted that Behemoth.
Yeah, the Chertoberfest.
Yeah, so they're doing big glass masses. So they're 1 litre big handles, I think.
Yeah, I was looking at picking that up. I heard a little rumour that Behemoth are doing giveaways if you are double vaxxed and go and click and collect something as well. So. I haven't actually verified that, but...
that is only this Saturday.
Oh, there you go.
So hopefully we'll get the podcast out by Saturday.
Yeah.
Because Saturday is going to be Vaxathon.
Yeah, Super Saturday.
Yeah.
If you're not double vaxxed, get it.
Get it done.
Yeah.
It's our public safety bit.
Yeah.
And Hallertau as well. Obviously, a brewery that's very inspired by Germany. Yeah. Hallertau being a region, a hop that they're named after. They've also got a really cool offering for Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
So they're doing a few different German beers, and they're doing a pack that's got some a curly German Weisswurst in it.
Yeah, and they're doing those big 1 litre bottles, and I think they're picking up their brewing out of their Clevedon location now, kind of down in southeast Auckland, kind of with the 600 litre kit there. And they're doing some interesting stuff in their big 1 litre keeper bottles. So, some cool stuff coming from them too.
Interestingly, I was chatting to a friend this week about how I was excited about some brewers that are usually focused on IPAs, basically, releasing some interesting historic German styles, which I'm so in love with. So things like Box, Mertzen, Helles, Festbier. My friend said, well, yeah, have you not noticed this happens every year at around this time? Because it's when the Brewers Guild Awards happen.
Right.
And to win the Brewery of the Year, you need to have medals in a whole range of different beer styles.
Huh.
So if you're a brewery that only puts out pastry stouts, fruit sours and IPAs, that is not enough.
Yeah.
So you need to make a lager, you need to do a Kölsch.
And like you, beer judges are known for their love of historical styles and traditional brewing. So it's a good way to win hearts and minds at an event like that.
And also it's easier. It's if you're entering the Bock category or the Schwarzbier category.
Yeah, how many are you going to be against?
It's a lot easier than entering the Hazy IPA category.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if cynical would be the right word. It's more just, knowing the rules of the system and brewing accordingly and releasing accordingly.
Yeah, but on traditional German beer styles, I had a very non-traditional German beer style a couple of nights ago, which was the Boosted Hefe from our other side shipment.
Yeah, the Tycoon one.
Yeah, so it's a Hefeweizen, but brewed with passion fruit and mango. So it's kind of this big tropical fruit bowl, kind of leaning into that banana from the east. It's, Hefe is not generally my go-to style. It's something I can appreciate, but it's not my favorite style. But it's a really interesting take on it, with just those tropical fruit flavors integrating really well. So it's definitely an interesting beer that's worth checking out, just for a completely different take on that style, kind of in a similar way to what we did with Forbidden Fruit for Small Gods. It's like we amped up the banana and kind of tried to modernize the Hefe that way. They've kind of leaned into what else will pair well with that banana character that you get from the yeast, and yeah, the mango pineapple works pretty well with it. So that's an interesting one to check out.
And that is a very, very rare beer. So the other side shipments, we imported a small amount of the beer, so we're just only selling it through Beer Jerk. But that Tycoon in particular, that's from the Tycoon series.
Yeah,
it's only for like other side Tycoons. Right? Yeah. Well, exactly. So you can become a member of the other side Tycoons by investing a certain amount in the brewery, and then they send you packs of beer every month, and you get discounts at the tap room and various awesome sort of things. I don't know if it's like a, I don't know if you own part of the brewery. I think it's more of a crowdfunding type vibe. But anyway, Australian people can't buy that boosted Hefeweizen. It's only for their members. So luckily we were able to get a few cases out of them when we did our last import a few weeks ago.
Yeah. The other side beer that I had last night, which was really interesting, was their caramel brown ale. Very caramelly, if you like your sweet pastry stuff, but want kind of a different take on it than your stouts and your sours. A really interesting brown ale. Just lots of like genuine caramel flavor, which I think is quite hard, often becomes sickly or doesn't quite nail the sweetness, but yeah, really caramelly. So another one worth checking out from that.
Beautiful. Well, I'm going to pour this beer. Have you got a bottle opener?
Of course I do. the other interesting beer that I've had in the last week is the Brewed Fermentation Saison.
Ah, nice.
So that was a... Brewed Fermentation is an interesting new brewery down in the top of the South Island with Lauren Yap, who I believe has been involved with NZ Hops. I think it's NZ Hops that she's involved with. And it's they seem to be doing some really interesting stuff with alternative fermentations and stuff like that. This one was a big 750ml Saison that was aged on Chardonnay lees and dry hopped with fresh rewalker, so fresh hop rewalker, so back in March when in the fresh hop season. And it's delightful. It's a really nice, bright, classic Saison. Interesting, funky character that doesn't take it too far. I find that often with when people are using grapes or grape lees or grape must or anything like that, that vinous character can be a little off-putting to me, but it was actually really well integrated with that Chardonnay character. Some kind of classic rewalker hop singing over the top of it. I don't even know if we have any left. I don't know if there's anywhere anyone can buy any.
It's sold out ages ago. It was a tiny batch.
It was like a 400 bottle run. Yeah. But Brewed Fermentation are doing a bunch of interesting stuff. They sent me an email with a breakdown of some of the stuff they're planning, and it's really exciting. So even though you might not be able to buy that beer, it's one to keep an eye out for in the future.
Well, they're all going to be very limited, aren't they, I think, all the releases at the moment?
Yeah, well, definitely for now. I mean, I think they're a very small little program that doing the kind of stuff that we love, the kind of stuff that they're passionate about and are interested in, and plays with local ingredients and alternative fermentation and stuff like that, barrels. So I wouldn't expect to see very much from them. When Fridge and Flagon reopens, we do have a keg from them that you can come in and check out.
Yeah, I'd almost forgotten we got that keg.
Yeah, well, it arrived like the day before lockdown or something like that.
Yeah.
So we haven't had a chance to drink that. But it's a stout, so it'll be, it's in our chiller, so that'll be tasting great still when we get to reopen. Brewed Fermentation, doing some interesting things.
Well, cheers, Mas. We're on to our second beer. Eagle-eared listeners may have noticed that we haven't quite been keeping up with weekly podcasts with everything that's been going on.
Lockdown's a whole thing.
So we've actually missed quite a few of our beers of the week. So apologies to any ones that we haven't chatted about. We've had some great beers that we just haven't even talked about, like the Boat Rocker Okie Dokie.
Yeah, really nice chocolatey stout with kind of some good hints of oak coming through. Yeah. We didn't do a podcast about Lucifer's Share.
Yeah.
Which maybe we'll get to after we talk about this, actually, because that's probably worth a chat.
Yeah, that could link in. So we are now drinking 8 Wide Rendition of the Devil, which if you're a fan of Belgian beers, you'll notice that the design of the bottle is very, very familiar. So this is 8 Wide's take on Duvel.
Yes, and it's a Belgian golden strong ale. And it's, I'm just kind of getting my head around it. It's a beautifully complex beer. Lovely yeast character expression coming through. And
well, I'll chat a little bit about Duvel, which is such an iconic and important brewery in Belgium. It's no monks are involved, and it's not a brewery that's been around for centuries. The brewery started after the First World War, and it's the Morgat family. So Duvel was actually first brewed, I think it was called Victory, I read, because it was to celebrate the end of the war, and then it became Duvel. No one's exactly sure where the name came from. It's lost in the mist of time. I was reading something on the Duvel website about a friend of theirs that was a postman said would refer to it as "that's the little devil." But so Duvel does mean literally devil. And it's hard to put into words what Duvel is, because it's not a Trappist beer, it's not a quad, it's a Belgian strong ale, but it's a thing all of its own.
I mean, I think the closest equivalent would be a triple. You know more than about the whole taxonomy of Belgian beers than I do, but
well, it's not that candy sugar Belgian yeast estuary full onness.
It's not. It's a little less sweetness to it. A little more stripped back. It's got some. This version of it has.
Coming back to Rendition of the Devil, which is, it's very similar to Duvel, but it's definitely Sorin's own take on it.
Yeah. So it's got some nice spicy yeast character coming through, which is kind of that kind of clove and pepper. Which kind of plays really well. There is a little bit of sweetness to it as well.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe a little lighter in body than Duvel. It's been a while since I had one, so it's hard for me to draw the direct comparison. But
and also the Duvel that you and I have drunk would not have been as fresh as this.
Mm. That's true. But it's bottle conditioned, so that will have a huge impact, because it's a beer that will continue to change and develop in the bottle, as a lot of Belgian beers with that traditional bottle conditioning will do.
And also, I say not as the Duvel I've drank would not be as fresh as this, and I'm including the Duvel that I've drank in England, which is where I've mainly drank it, and also in Belgium, because beer is thought of it's stored in a very different way in Belgium and in England.
Yeah.
Here we're obsessed with refrigeration, and rightly so for hoppy beers.
Yeah.
They need to be stored cold. But you do not go into a bottle shop in Belgium or in England, and it's not walls of fridges like you see at the Fridge and Flagon. It's shelves. Even their IPAs are on shelves in English beer shops, and you might have a couple of fridges in there.
Yeah, but when I was going through Belgium a couple of years ago, you'd walk in and it's just they have beers on the shelf at the counter a lot of the time, just in your dairy or your newsagent. It's just like, here's your newspaper, here's your chocolate bars, here's your triple.
Yep, which is something, and it takes some getting used to when you spend time in different countries, and then you go to Australia and it's even harder to buy beers.
Yeah.
And you can't buy beers in the supermarket. Well, you're used to that because you live in West Auckland.
Yep.
And then conversely, one of my favourite places to buy beer is in Germany, where you can just stumble into a kebab shop at 4 a.m. and buy a bottle of Belgian Triple, or a bottle of tequila for that matter, and just sit on the table on the street while smashing your falafel and drinking some rum. Maybe that's a little bit too far, but still, I like my freedom.
Yeah, definitely.
Rendition of the Devil is brilliant. We need to re-up and get a load of this in stock at Beer Jerk.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we can stash a load in our secret bolt hole.
Well, I believe a sneaky secret about Rendition of the Devil is actually brewed with the same yeast as our new Small Gods 8 Wide collaboration, 3 on a Match.
Yep.
Um, so um, the timing worked out perfectly that we were wanting to brew a Belgian beer style with 8-Wired, and we were talking about this Belgian Amber Ale, 3-on-a-match, which released last week. They were brewing this, and said, "Well, I'm gonna have this yeast grown up from brewing my Golden Strong,
which was a blend."
Yeah, so we can put something straight onto that. So it's the same that unique yeast strain has gone into our collaboration with 8-Wired, and it is as Luke says, it's a blend of different Belgian yeast. So it's there's going to be some similar characteristics across those two beers. I'm getting a bunch of that, some of that spice note that I'm really enjoying in this. I also pick up in 3-on-a-match, but you can get that different malt character kind of playing differently. Kind of got a little more of that dark fruit character coming through in 3-on-a-match that plays with those yeast notes in a different way. So if you're enjoying this, definitely pick up a six pack of that on the Beer Jet website as well.
Yeah, I'm going to grab some rendition for the weekend and drink it side by side with 3-on-a-match.
That's a very good idea. I might do the same.
Which takes us to another beer of the week that we missed out, which was a beer that we brewed, the Lucifer Share, which was the final beer in our Satanic trilogy that we brewed with our good friend that you've all heard of on the podcast, Mike Cheer at Malt Cult. And Lucifer Share was a Scotch ale.
Yeah, a whiskey Scotch ale. A Scotch ale is a pretty actually broad category of beers.
Also known as a wee heavy.
A wee heavy or a shilling ale.
80 shilling, right?
Yeah, so in Scotland they would have the beers were the same broad style, which was a kind of a malty, sometimes smoky, but actually not traditionally not. Though a lot of modern interpretations are.
Yeah. It's an interesting take that people think a Scotch ale should be smoky.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So that they would have those beers at different strengths, and starting from down at 2.5-3%, up through 4-5%, up to sometimes up to 8%, and those would be denoted by different costs, which was the shilling ale. So often something like a strong Scotch ale, which Lucifer's Share started out of. They would brew that, and then they would take the second runnings from that beer to make the smaller version, because there's still a lot of sugar left in that malt.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's as popular these days, but I remember years ago drinking in Scotland, and there would be three taps, and there'd be a 40 shilling, a 50 shilling, a 60 shilling.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact denominations, but yeah, something like that. And so we went for the strongest end of the spectrum.
Of course.
And
more is more, the Matt Eats philosophy.
Yep. And we wanted to put our own spin on it by what can you put in a Scotch ale to make it more Scottish? Scotch. So.
And of course, we were talking about the Angel Share, which is that famous thing that the evaporation of whiskey that happens in the casks each year, which accounts for a 1.5% or 2% loss in whiskey. And obviously, Lucifer's Share was his cohort of angels that he took with him out of heaven when he was cast down.
Yeah, and we thought that that big malty rich Scotch ale could play well with some whiskey character,
and it does.
Yeah, and we wanted to reinforce a little bit of that sweetness, so we basically created a tincture of a load of vanilla, fresh vanilla, straight into some jerry cans of Scotch whiskey that we tinctured for a few weeks before that got added to the brew at the end to fortify it.
And it was aged on oak as well.
Yeah, some fresh oak zigzags went in there that it sat on for a number of weeks to double down on that whiskey character that we were trying to get in there. And
well, we wanted to brew a beer that tasted like whiskey even before we'd fortified it with Speyside whiskey.
Yeah.
And I think we succeeded in that with the oak, with the vanilla notes, with the bit of smoked wheat that went in there.
Yeah, well, I had another can just 2 nights ago, and it's actually tasting a lot better now than it was the first time I had it. Everything has smoothed out, and that there are a couple of rough edges on it when I had it straight, on canning day I had a can. And now it's that malt character is so rich and smooth, and that whiskey character really sings across it, but it's not peaky. It doesn't kind of give you a strong boozy note.
Mm.
You get that kind of alcohol warmth kind of radiating through, but it really kind of ties back into a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of kind of caramel and toffee and toast from the malt base. But you get kind of hints of smoke and hints of that kind of ineffable whiskey character coming through, and really happy with how that beer came out. And gratefully reflected with its ratings on Untappd, which is our most highly regarded beer to date. I call it If You Believe Anyone Untappd, which you should never do.
And dear listeners, the previous two beers in the Satanic Trilogy, Satan, 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 sold out really fast. The Fall sold out. And Lucifer Share, I think we have about 80 cans left.
Yeah,
or
a couple of cases. Yeah. I think it's less than 80 now.
Yeah, so grab some of that quickly. And in fact, grab a few quickly, because it's one that will be good for the cellar.
Yeah, definitely keen to see how that ages out. I'm keen to see how all the beers in the Satan Trilogy age out, actually. So I've got a few stashed away in my cellar at home to taste over the years. And we'll see how that goes.
And news in beer. I think the biggest news at the moment worldwide is the Mikkola, it's called the Mikkola Craft Beer Celebration.
Yeah, so it's been a huge event for the last 10 or so years.
The Mikkola Beer Celebration Copenhagen.
Yeah, and it's a big celebration of all of the best breweries in the industry, and traditionally it's they're all kind of worldwide top 100 breweries.
It's the most amazing festival.
Yeah.
And they do one in Tokyo as well.
Yeah, but might not be so amazing this year.
So there have been a lot of controversy in craft beer all over the world over the last few months, which was kicked off with Rat Magnet. Her name is Brienne Ariel, I believe her name is.
I can't remember the surname. Off the top of my head,
a brewer at Notch Brewing, and she... She just did an Instagram story one day talking about some rude sexist behaviour from a customer in the bar that dismissed her because she was a woman and didn't think she could be a brewer. And she simply asked the question, have you experienced any sexism working in brewing? And this opened floodgates of all sorts of accusations coming out, and just things about an entire... gamut of very extreme things, that rape and sexual abuse, to just quite passive, dismissive, much smaller things.
But it's really representative of the struggles that a lot of women have in the industry, and it's often quite hard for us to talk about as men in the industry.
Yeah.
Because obviously we think that kind of stuff is disgusting, and we know, and that. Taste buds don't discriminate. Your women are, as most of the women in my life drink beer, and we don't have that perception. But I have seen it at the bars that I've worked at, and I've spoken to Rose, our bar manager, about what she's experienced with it. And it's just like people, asking to speak to the man, and like, oh, you don't drink beer, do you? And that kind of just dismissive crap. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? But just this overwhelming flood of stories that came out in the wake of this Instagram post was actually a really eye-opener for me, and in that I naively probably thought that didn't really happen in the craft beer industry, and I thought people were more switched on, because it's something that,
but we don't see it
because we don't face it, we don't see it, and we're not friends with people who would do that, so we don't see it. But it's really important that those stories are coming out, so that people like us who don't see or perpetrate that behavior, or are made aware that it's happening, so that we can, in whatever way we can, support our staff and our friends who are women who drink beer to counteract that kind of behavior.
So, all kinds of things come out of the woodwork related to breweries across the world, really.
A lot of notorious breweries as well, like some big names.
Yes, yeah, so misogyny, racism, homophobia, sexism. And a name that kept coming up was Mikkola, particularly their San Diego location. but also their brewery in Copenhagen. And just various things about management being dismissive to women and women not treated equally. And so I'll share a link in the show notes to a great article in Good Beer Hunting that covers a lot of this. But the Michelob Beers Annual Festival, which has always been the greatest festival, is now happening because COVID is kind of over in Europe. Let's not get on to that.
People are acting like it's over in Europe.
Yeah. So it's happening after missing a year, and 100 brewers are taking part, and suddenly Twitter and Instagram have risen up and said, hey, wait, you're mates with these guys and you're going to do a festival with them and not... So a handful of breweries pulled out of it the other day and made some announcements.
Yeah,
and
the first I saw was the Colonel from London. I saw an announcement that they kind of, in their very Colonel way, were kind of oblique and insular about it, but they were just like, hey, we don't know what's going on. We just realized this was happening and obviously we're pulling out.
Yeah.
Because the Colonel being a brewery that doesn't do social media and doesn't keep up with trends, they just kind of do their own thing quietly in their own corner, being fantastic. But yeah, the first I heard about it was I follow the Colonel, so I saw their announcement, and I was just like, wait, what's going on? What's happened? And that's how I found out about the whole situation.
And then a statement came out a day or two ago, a combined joint statement by I think 8 of the most hyped English breweries that were attending. So breweries like Track, Verdant, Wylam, and a whole bunch of brilliant brewers, saying that they were going to attend, but they were going to have a panel discussion and have some of the some representative people that have been unjustly treated and maligned, that they could speak their piece. To which Twitter exploded, saying, well, wait, we're at a beer festival, which may not be a safe space for a lot of people, and women and non-binary folk are being expected to face their accusers on a stage in front of people, and people might be drunk, and this is a terrible idea. So just this morning, those 8 English breweries all decided to pull out, and they decided it was a bad idea. So that's happening right now, so it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. I mean, it's still going to be a big beer festival with 70 brewers rather than 100 brewers attending. We will see what will come of that.
Yeah, and hopefully that... I mean, it's really hard to know from a distance and from social media, and especially a lot of these breweries are international breweries that we don't follow or know anything about. Like,
we don't know the people.
We hear the beers and we don't know about the people, but you never know when there's issues like that. That, I mean, it's so widespread and it's so many different levels, from petty passive aggressiveness to real horrible crime, like rape and abuse to sideways comments, and it's like, none of it's acceptable. It's all disgusting. But when you have a brewery who has a member of the taproom staff was dismissive to the brewer, and it's like, is that representative of a systemic failing at that brewery and the ownership of that brewery? It might be. There's every chance that it is, and a lot of those attitudes are reflected throughout businesses. But then you have stories like, I think there's the owner of Tired Hands resigned over allegations, and several others, where it's like, no, you've been accused of a crime and it's your business, so it is, like, everyone is right to not support you. And it's really interesting to try and navigate that. Has a staff member at that brewery done something and been fired? That's a very different situation than the owner of the brewery abused someone. And trying to keep track of it all, because it's so widespread and so, like, terrible, that, like, there's all these names that keep cropping up, and it's like, well, shit, I thought those people were good. and now I know that they're not, and it's a shame that we're having to deal with this, but it's much more of a shame that women have had to be dealing with this and had to be dealing with it in secret for so long, that it's great that it's coming out and that we're now not finding out these things, and it's worth the effort to sort through. And there's an amazing spreadsheet, which can be, it's a pretty harrowing spreadsheet, that
of a lot of the accusations that came out of the Rat Magnet Instagram.
Yeah, so if you want to know more about it and find out about who you should be supporting and where your money should be going, check it out, because it's worth being aware of where your money's going.
And it's the double-edged sword of social media. As much as we joke and complain about Untappd, all idiots leaving bad Google reviews for a bar or bad reviews for a beer, the opposite side of that is that for millennia there have been perpetrators that have been allowed to get away with stuff because people have not had a voice.
Yeah.
So you've had predators, criminals, bigots, racists, all sorts of awful behaviour, because the people that have been their victims have not had a voice. Whereas with social media these days, everyone has a voice. So yeah, absolutely a double-edged sword.
Yeah, and it's my hope that while these problems that are huge and systemic and widespread seem so terrible at the moment, it gives me hope that because they're being brought to light, the behavior can be stopped and people can know not to support people who are doing this kind of thing. And while it seems so much worse because we're hearing about it, hopefully because we're hearing about it, it can stop. So
yeah, well, cheers to that.
Cheers.
And what else have we got to talk about? Small Gods news.
Small Gods news. We have our three Christmas beers coming up.
Oh, you spill the beans.
Yeah, I'm not going to spill any more
beans. No more spilling, apart from...
They're really cool.
They're going to be in the advent calendar.
Two of our three Christmas
beers are going to be in the advent calendar. And the BJK advent calendar is almost sold out.
Yeah,
so
get it. If you want it, it's the best box of beer that we do every year. It's full of exclusive imports, one-off new releases, and beers that have been brewed specifically for the calendar. It's 24 beers to drink over 24 days. It's really exciting. We're really excited about the beers that we've put in it for Small Gods and stuff that we've lined up from overseas and locally. So yeah, that's definitely one to check out.
Well, the advent calendar is $200, and that's about $8 a beer.
Yeah.
And there's almost all of the beers in there you could not buy anyway because they've been brewed for the calendar or we've imported them. But if you could buy them anyway, I don't know if there are any that you could buy for $8. It's also, not only is it an amazing selection, it's actually a bargain. It seems weird to be talking about a $200 box of beer as a bargain, but there's 24 beers in there, and they're pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, when you think, if you look at the kind of premium the releases that we deal with, like you're talking about your $10, $11, $12 single items, it's that level of beers for the most part. That I think there is one beer in there that is just an excellent, excellent pale ale that I can think of, but that might fall under that $8, but it's an exclusive import.
it's an extraordinary box.
Yeah.
And so grab that, because we're not far off selling out. Last year, I think we'd sold out before Halloween.
Yeah.
And we're on track to sell out, probably a bit sooner this year.
Yeah. So, and if you have already bought that and think, my advent calendar needs a set, maybe they're not, because we have another one.
Yeah, we've got, because of course $200 is a lot of money, even though it's fantastic value. If you or someone you know just wants to drink a nice beer every day and isn't necessarily into drinking things that are completely exclusive and high ABV and rare, and they just want to drink a cool beer every day, we've got the Favourites Advent Calendar, which is full of 24 bangers.
Yeah, so...
And it's way cheaper.
It is. So that is beer that's filled with some of our favourite readily available local breweries. So it's much more geared towards your everyday drinkers, your top tier local breweries. So it's not your big 440 ml cans of pastry stout and IPA and all that stuff. It's more like 330 mils, pale ales, lagers, hazies. There's a few other bits in there, but yeah, it's a if you're after something a little more affordable, or if you want to double up on your December countdown, you can check that one out too.
So obviously we have got no events coming up because we're still locked down, but the Brewers Guild Awards night is happening in the next few days. So they're having simultaneous events happening in cities all around New Zealand. So you lucky people that aren't in Auckland should go and check that out. But they also are live streaming it, so all the brewers can tune in. So I know I'm going to be tuning in to check that out and see how everyone's got on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've got a box of Hazy Heavyweights that we just released today.
Yeah, so that is a box with the new McLeod's 802, number 37.
Have you had it yet?
I haven't. I haven't had any of these beers yet. I'm very excited to.
It's Sultana hops, and what else is in there?
A couple of new ones. You put me on the spot there.
Yeah, more hops. Yeah. As always, we do no research for this podcast.
It's got Duncan's Oat Cream V4 in there, so the latest Oat Cream IPA from Duncan's, and another Oat Cream IPA, which is Hillbilly Milk from Lakeman down in Taupo. So yeah, a bunch of top-tier hazies available there.
And that big Sippers box. I'm surprised we've still got a few of those in stock. That's got some amazing beers from Workshop in there.
Yeah. Another box of kind of your higher ABV, sit and think about it beers, rather than your kind of light smashable stuff. If you do want your light smashable stuff, we have a picnic box for all you Aucklanders who want to isolate, but still see your mates and at a distance in a park, like we're recording this podcast. it's a box of six different beers. You get four of each. So you can share them around, drink the same beer, and it's easy-going stuff to drink in the sun. That one's $90, so it's a good bargain to get some great beers.
$90 for 24 beers.
Yeah, in a range of styles, so that's really yum. And yeah.
Any more news from you?
No, not that we need to talk about this podcast. I think we can wrap it up now.
We haven't even got onto Matt's Homebrew Corner.
Matt's Homebrew Corner can wait till next time. I haven't brewed it yet, so... yeah, if you like, if you want to hear about my new fruited sour experiment, you've got to tune in to the next episode.
I like it. We're getting good at podcasting. We give people teasers for next week's episode.
Real professional.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We will catch you next time.
Catch you next time.
Oh, and if you haven't got the hint, please go to beerjet.co.nz and shop with us.
Oh, yeah. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Facebook at The Beer Jerk, on Instagram at BeerJerkNZ. And you can join our members group on Facebook at NZ Beer Jerks, where you can chat to me and Luke, the rest of our members, about what's new and great in the world of beer in New Zealand.
Bye.
Bye.